Worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. Again, Proverbs 7, starting at verse 1. My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your nearest kin, that they may keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. For at the window of my house, I looked through my lattice and saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths, a young man devoid of understanding, passing along the street near her corner, and he took the path to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. She was loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at home. At times she was outside, at times in the open squares, lurking at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him. With an impudent face, she said to him, I have peace offerings with me. Today I've paid my vows. So I came out to meet you diligently to seek your face. And I have found you. I've spread my bed with tapestry, colored coverings of Egyptian linen. I perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with love, for my husband is not at home. He is gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home on the appointed day. With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately he went after her, as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Till an arrow struck his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know it would cost his life. Now therefore listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. Verses 1 through 27, all of Proverbs chapter 7. Then looking briefly in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 4. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Verses 1 through 4, Hebrews chapter 13. Father, we thank you for the wisdom, the guidance, and the counsel your word gives us about every area of life, including the areas of relationships and sexuality from a Bible perspective. Thank you for the opportunity for us to hear your counsel that will guide us, direct us, and help us to live a life that honors you in this area of life as your word guides us in every area of life. Empower us more and more to be faithful hearers and doers of your word, and help us to be wise as parents and grandparents and those that work with youth to guide, mold, shape, and direct them in understanding your perspective on this issue as well. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time.
God, we're so thankful that we can come to you today, and we recognize it's because of your Son, Jesus Christ, and what he did on Calvary's cross for sinners like us. Father, we bring our listening family to you today with so many different needs in this fallen world. We pray that you would comfort them, that you would strengthen them, that you would send help as you see fit. We're so thankful that we can place them in your hands today, and what a great hope they have in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick, for and thank you for being a part of our listening family. We're continuing to encourage you to prayerfully consider getting plugged into the Operation Christmas Child Outreach that has blessed many, many children all over the world. You can send the good news of Jesus Christ to children around the world through a simple shoebox gift through the ministry and outreach called Operation Christmas Child. Packing a shoebox results in the great work of evangelism, discipleship, and multiplication to go forward. This is a direct way for you to help to equip local churches around the world, Operation Christmas Child's local ministry partners, with a simple platform, specifically a shoebox, to reach their own communities and establish long-term relationships. Again, for more information about this great outreach that you and your church family can possibly plug into, visit SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. Again, that's SamaritansPurse.org/OCC to learn more and to find out about a drop-off location in your area as well. Once again, SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. Hope that you will choose to get involved. And we're continuing to remind and help you to become more aware of AFA streaming. American Family Association will no longer be canceled by cancel culture or banned from speaking truth. We're introducing our latest ministry effort, AFA streaming, built and managed by the American Family Association. Previously, AFA did rely on third-party platforms, including YouTube, Vimeo, and Facebook to stream content. However, these platforms have become censors of biblical truth. AFA streaming is now available. AFA streaming is an online platform that hosts all of AFA-produced videos and video content, from documentaries and church curriculum to our Cultural Institute series. All are available now for online viewing on a user-friendly, first-class website. You can set up your account today to begin streaming yourself as well. To find out more, visit afa.net. Again, that's afa.net. Hope that you will get plug into AFA streaming. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Today, we're specifically looking at the topic of relationships and sexuality, a Bible point of view. And I want to mention in particular, this is a very important topic for Christian men and women to get a good, solid biblical foundation on it, to learn it from God's point of view, but also especially parents as well. It's so important that we as parents and grandparents equip ourselves to be able to guide, mold, shape, and disciple our children in every area of life, including the area of relationships and sexuality, which is such a big part of life. It's a huge part of life and a very, very important one, and an area of great struggle and turmoil in our culture today for many different reasons. Father, thank you for the opportunity for us to look into your word and find out more of what your word teaches us and tells us about this very important subject and topic. Thank you for our listeners, and thank you for the opportunity for us to grow an understanding of your wisdom, your counsel, your guidance in this topic and in this matter. Lord, anoint the minds, ears, heart, and understanding of each and every one of us with a mighty, 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 mighty anointing so that we'll be abundantly receptive to your word and your will and your spirit. And help us to have ears to hear and eyes to see what you'd have us to hear and see with our hearts. And help us to grow an understanding of how important this topic is in all of life and how important it is in particular for us as parents and grandparents to grasp it and to be able to share and teach it from a Bible point of view. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Just to share with you a few specific scriptures that address the topic, the important topic of relationships and sexuality from a Bible point of view. Let me just share a few. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4 says, "Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous." Genesis chapter 2, verse 24 tells us, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Genesis chapter 1, verse 28 tells us, "And God blessed them, and God said to them, Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 3 through 5 tell us, "The husband should give his wife her conjugal rights, and likewise the wife her husband. For the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer, but then come together again so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 tells us, "Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body." 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2, "But because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband." Song of Solomon chapter 8, verse 4 tells us, "I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, that you not stir up or awaken love until it pleases." In Proverbs chapter 5, verses 18 and 19, we're told, "Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth, a lovely deer, a graceful doe. Let her breasts fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love." Matthew chapter 5, verse 28. "But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart." In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 through 5, we're told, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God." And then specifically, Song of Solomon, verse chapter 4, verse 16. "Awake, O north wind, and come, O south wind, blow upon my garden, let its spices flow, let my beloved come to his garden and eat its choicest fruits." Now, these are just a few scriptures that specifically address the topic of relationships and sexuality from a Bible perspective. You know, one of the Ten Commandments tells us, "You shall not commit adultery." But something that scripture makes very clear is that the sexual relationship is to be found only between husband and wife. The act of sex to be found only between married husbands and wives, and no one else. Only between a married husband and wife. Well, not between boyfriend and girlfriend, not to be between casual friends, not to be between man and a man and a woman and a woman. Sex is a beautiful thing, and sexuality, beautiful gifts from God, but they're to be lived in a way that God is honored. And remember, God always has the best in mind for us. Anytime he tells us in his word to either do something or not do something, it's as if God is saying, "Do this because I love you and I want the best for you," or "Don't do this because I love you and I want the best for you." God is looking out for us. And so again, the sexual act is to be found only between a married husband and wife and nowhere else in society. Yet sadly, we find in society so many people involved in sex and sexuality in ways that dishonor God and don't line up with his word. It's important for men and women to understand, and boyfriends and girlfriends to understand, we're to do things God's way. It's important to know, too, boyfriends don't get husband privileges. It's important to know where to follow God's word, because God's word is the best thing for us. It has his counsel, his wisdom, his insight. Again, one of the Ten Commandments found in Exodus chapter 20, "You shall not commit adultery." So as we look further in the word of God, as we're looking at this topic today, it's important that we're listening to God's counsel, because remember, God's will is the best thing in the world for us, for our lives, and all those we know and love as well. We're looking today at the topic, relationships and sexuality, a Bible point of view. We'll be right back.
Feeling lonely, this world got a way of showing me. Some days it'll lift you up, some days it'll call you bluff. Man, most of my days I ain't got enough. And all I know,
the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me when I'm beat down, broken. Hold my heart when it's split wide open. Turn these eyes to my soul protector and break the will of this born defector. 'Cause all I know, all I know.
The music of Toby Mac with I Just Need You. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic of relationships and sexuality, a Bible point of view. And as we look at the Word of God, keep in mind the best tool in the whole wide world to help parents, grandparents, and those that work with young people, guiding and teaching them in all of life, of course, is the Word of God, including in the area of relationships and sexuality. A lot of wisdom, guidance, and counsel. I read Proverbs chapter 7 to you earlier, and I'm going to take a few moments to read it again. I want you to note what's going on here. Specifically, you have, amongst other things, it is largely about a young man that goes to the wrong part of town, the wrong time of night, and he runs into the wrong person. And it's important that we as Christian parents teach our sons and our daughters to avoid sexually immoral people. There are young men out there that are trying to swallow our daughters alive. There are young women out there trying to swallow our sons alive into a life of sin. It's important that we teach our children there are those kind of seductive people out there. And so as we see in Proverbs chapter 7, a powerful example of God and his wisdom gives us of a young man who goes in the wrong direction and walks into sin that leads to trouble in his life. Again, Proverbs 7, starting at verse 1. My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your nearest kin, that they may keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. For at the window of my house, I looked through my lattice and saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths a young man devoid of understanding, passing along the street near her corner, and he took the path to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. She was loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at home. At times she was outside, at times in the open square, lurking at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him. And with an impudent face, she said to him, I have peace offerings with me. Today I have paid my vows. So I came out to meet you diligently to seek your face. And I have found you. I have spread my bed with tapestry, colored coverings of Egyptian linen. I perfumed my bed with myrrhs, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with love, for my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home on the appointed day. With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately he went after her, as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow struck his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare. He did not know it would cost his life. Now therefore listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. Verses 1 through 27, Proverbs chapter 7. Would mention that I'm going to share a couple parables of young people today who really needed the guidance of their parents from a Bible perspective. It's about their journey and how they made mistakes. This first one is simply entitled Michael's Story. It was a summer day when 16-year-old Michael went to his friend's house to hang out with some of the guys from high school. They'd been goofing off for about 30 minutes when one of his friends got a text that some of the girls from the high school wanted to stop by for a little while. The guys were excited, and the parents were not home, so they wouldn't have to feel like someone was watching over everything they did. The girls arrived about 20 minutes later. Michael knew a couple of them from school, and one girl named Melissa seemed to really be interested in Michael. Michael and Melissa talked and flirted. Michael went into the kitchen to get a drink when a couple of the guys came in. One of them said, "Hey, Michael, looks like Melissa really has a thing for you. Man, she's hot." One of the other guys said, "Yeah, man, she looks good, and I heard she's a sure thing, if you know what I mean. You should take advantage of that situation. This is your big chance." Michael said, "What? I don't even know her. I'm not going to sleep with her." "Come on, Michael, what more could you ask for? You've got a hot girl who likes you and a house with no parents around. Sounds like the perfect opportunity to me, unless you're scared." "What?" Michael said. "I'm not scared. I just think my first time should be special." The guy started laughing and teasing him. Michael had just admitted to his friends that he was a virgin, and they made him feel like he was a freak. What happened next was like a bad dream for Michael. He ended up doing something he didn't want to do, just to get the guys to let off the pressure off of him. He left the kitchen, went into the living room, and grabbed Melissa's hand. He led her into a bedroom. The guys were right. She was a sure thing. That night after Michael went to bed, he felt bad. He felt terrible. How could he have made something that he thought was special into a random, cheap act? But the sickness and disappointment he felt that night was nothing compared to the sick feeling that hit him 7 weeks later when Melissa called to tell him she was pregnant. A paternity test confirmed that he was, in fact, the father of the baby. Michael didn't love Melissa. He didn't even really know her. There would be no wedding. He got a part-time job after school so that he could give Melissa money for diapers and things like that. Where were Michael's friends who encouraged him to take advantage of the quote-unquote situation? Nowhere to be found, particularly when it was Michael's turn to keep his baby. Michael grew to love his child and was proud of his son as he grew up. He knew that his son was a blessing, but if he could do it all over again, he wouldn't be a 16-year-old father. He would save sex for the girl who would one day be his wife. Again, Michael's story. An interesting parable, but one that lays out some very basic insight and wisdom. Again, how important it is for us to teach and train our children, number one, what the Word of God says. You know, again, one of the Ten Commandments says, you shall not commit adultery. Teaching our young people that sex is to be between a married husband and wife and nowhere else. Not to be, again, between husband and wife. Excuse me, not to be between boyfriend and girlfriend. Not to be between casual friends. Not to be between two boys or between two girls either. Again, as I mentioned earlier, an important truth to be mindful of, too, is that boyfriends don't get husband privileges. The fact is, it's important to know that the sexual relationship is to be reserved only for a married husband and wife and no one else. So God's word has guidance and wisdom to help us all better understand God's perspective on all these issues. Well, I'm going to share with you also in just a moment another parable, but important for us again as parents to be mindful that again we teach our children that sex is to be found in spite of what they may see on the media, TV, movies. There's so many other values that are taught through the media, through television and movies and other sorts of media that say that it's okay for boyfriends and girlfriends to be involved and casual friends and people that don't even know the people to be involved. But it's important to know God's word is the best thing for all people in all situations, in all cultures, in all times. God's counsel is good for us. God's counsel is what blesses us and blesses our lives, blesses our futures, and helps us to lead a God-honoring life in every area of life. Yet the world's values will lead to crazy, messed up, wrong values, wrong perspectives, wrong lives and lifestyles. Following God's word is so, so very important. Well, here's briefly again another story, simply entitled Lexi's Story. Lexi was 16 years old and a junior in high school when she met Adam. Lexi lived at home with her parents and had an older sister who was in college. She was a Christian, had been raised in church, and tried to live a good life. She was one of those pretty girls who didn't know she was pretty. She'd never had a real boyfriend before and was flattered when Adam started talking to her. Adam was 18, a senior in high school, and on the football team. His family went to church on Easter and Christmas, but he'd never made a commitment to Christ. He was smart and very good looking. Very good looking. Lexi was surprised when Adam started talking to her. She didn't consider herself his type. She didn't consider herself pretty enough or popular enough for Adam, but she really enjoyed the attention he gave her. When Adam asked Lexi to go to a basketball game with her, she quickly said yes. She was a little irritated when her parents insisted on meeting him before the game, but she guessed she could understand. They didn't know his family, and it was her first real date. She had a great time with Adam that night. He was funny, easy to talk to, and very good-looking. She still couldn't quite believe that he liked her. They continued to date, and her parents allowed her to go out once a week, with a strict curfew at 11. Sometimes when she and Adam were together, he would say things that made her feel a little uncomfortable in one way, but made her feel pretty in another way. He would tell her how beautiful she was or how good a certain pair of jeans looked on her. One day, Adam was frustrated because he was having problems in one of his algebra classes. Math had always been easy for Lexi, so she offered to help him. They decided to study for a couple of hours after school once a week. Even though Lexi knew her parents would never approve, she allowed Adam to come over after school to study. Her parents were at work, and he would be gone by the time they got home. As long as she worked on her homework and had dinner started by the time her parents came home, her mom would never know. The first couple of times that Adam came over, they did exactly what they planned to do. They studied. Just sitting beside him at the kitchen table made her heart beat faster. On the third afternoon that he came over to study, Adam was different. He started kissing her. They never opened a book to study that day. He came over next afternoon, and they immediately started to get physical. Before she knew what had happened, Lexi had done something she never thought she would do. She didn't plan to have sex with Adam, but it just happened. She felt awful afterwards, but she knew she really loved him, so she justified that it was okay. They continued to have a sexual relationship, even though she knew it was wrong. Adam was just so hard to say no to. Besides the guilt she was feeling, she started worrying that her parents would find out that Adam was coming over in the afternoons, so she told him he would have to stop coming over. Adam didn't like it, but he stopped coming over. About that time, Lexi was at a spend-the-night party with a few of her best friends. They stayed up late and planned to sleep in the next day, but she woke up suddenly around 6 that morning feeling horribly sick. She ran to the restroom, making it just in time before she got extremely sick. Her friend's mom heard her and got up to help and wondered if she'd eaten something the night before that made her sick. But Lexi continued to get sick in the morning, and she started to get scared. She finally told her friend Anna that she was afraid she might be pregnant. Anna was shocked but encouraged her to go to the local pregnancy clinic for a pregnancy test. Anna went with her. Lexi sat in the waiting room feeling afraid and nervous, almost panicked and very embarrassed. When the lady at the clinic told her that the test was positive, Lexi felt like she would faint. Everyone was so loving and kind to her at Parkgate, but when she saw the tiny heartbeat on the sonogram, she was hit with the reality that it was all true. She was really pregnant. Telling her mom and dad was the hardest thing Lexi had ever done. Her dad cried, and it broke Lexi's heart. Over the next several days, Lexi and her mom fought a lot. Everyone was just so stressed out. She practiced how she would tell Adam. She just wanted him to tell her that they would get through this together and that he would support her. He didn't say anything at first when he first heard. He just sat there silent. Then he said, "What are you going to do?" No hugs, no support, no words like, "We'll get through this together." He told her that he was sure that her parents would pay for an abortion. Lexi was shocked. "An abortion?" she questioned. She started feeling that panicky feeling again. The next weekend, she and her parents met with Adam and his parents to discuss the whole matter. It was awful. It was almost like she was the bad girl and she had done nothing, and that Adam had done nothing wrong. His parents even asked how they could be sure it was Adam's baby. Lexi was stunned. She'd never had sex with anyone else, but the worst part was the look on Adam's face when his parents said that. He looked like he agreed with his parents. He didn't even take up for her at all. Lexi had never felt more alone in all her life. She wanted to pray, but she was just too ashamed to even talk to God. The next weekend, after several sleepless nights, Lexi and her friend Anna drove out of state to an abortion clinic. She didn't believe in abortion, but she was desperate. She decided that she would tell her family and Adam's family that she miscarried. We'll pick up on the other side with a conclusion of the story of Lexi's story. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're looking today at the topic, Relationships and Sexuality, a Bible Point of View. We'll be right back. Music of Planet Shakers with Heaven on Earth. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're looking today at the topic, Relationships and Sexuality, a Bible Point of View, and looking at insight and counsel from the Word of God for us as believers to understand God's perspective on the topics of relationships and sexuality, but also wisdom and counsel for us as parents to be able to share, to teach and train our children about this important part and area and topic of life as well. And we've been sharing from a story simply entitled Lexi's Story, so we'll pick up close to where we left off. Telling her mom and dad was the hardest thing Lexi had ever done. Her dad cried and it broke Lexi's heart. Over the next several days, Lexi and her mom fought a lot. Everyone was just so stressed. Lexi practiced how she would tell Adam. She just wanted him to tell her that they would get through this together and that he would support her. He didn't say anything at first when she told him. just sat there silently. Then he said, "What are you going to do? No hugs, no support, no words like, we'll get through this together." He told her that he was sure her parents would pay for an abortion. Lexi was shocked. An abortion? She started feeling that panicky feeling again. The next weekend, she and her parents met with Adam and his parents to discuss everything. It was awful. It was almost like she was the bad girl and that Adam had done nothing wrong. His parents even asked how they could be sure it was Adam's baby. Lexi was stunned. She'd never had sex with anyone else, and the worst part was the look on Adam's face when his parents said that. He looked like he agreed with his parents. He didn't take up for her at all. Lexi had never felt more alone in all her life. She wanted to pray, but she was just too ashamed to even talk to God. The next weekend, after several sleepless nights, Lexi and her friend Anna drove out of state to an abortion clinic. Lexi didn't believe in abortion, but she was desperate. She decided that she would tell her family and Adam's family that she miscarried, and everything would go back to normal. Lexi felt like her heart was beating 200 times a minute as she lay on the surgical table in the abortion clinic waiting for the abortion to begin. She just wanted everything to be over with. She was alone except for a nurse who was working at the counter. Crying, Lexi finally whispered a prayer, "Father, please forgive me." Suddenly, a thought flashed through her mind. Words she had memorized in Sunday school many years ago. "I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart." Jeremiah 1:5. At that moment, Lexi stopped crying. She sat straight up. She got off the table. The nurse said, "Wait, what are you doing?" But Lexi didn't wait. She walked into the room where she had changed clothes and redressed. She found Anna and together they left. On the drive home, Lexi decided that she would get through this somehow. She didn't know how, but she would. In June, Lexi gave birth to a 7-pound baby boy. She named him Dylan. Her parents were there for the birth, and so was Anna. Adam was not. In fact, she hadn't heard from Adam in a while. He had graduated in May, and she heard he was headed to an out-of-state university. With her parents' help, she finished her senior year and graduated. It wasn't easy. She missed prom and a lot of the traditional things senior girls do, but she was okay. She renewed her faith in God and her commitment to Him. He got her through everything. Sometimes when she would look in Dylan's sweet face, she would remember that she almost aborted him. But she thanked God that He intervened that day and that He would get them through life together. Again, a story simply entitled Lexi's Story, but a powerful story that illustrates the kind of journey sometimes young people may go through when they don't go down the route of really following the wisdom of God's Word. And of course, we live in a world where people make mistakes. Now, keep in mind, a child is not a mistake. The baby is not a mistake. But people make mistakes and make wrong moves. Boys and girls do. Men and women do as well. But the important truth is for us to understand God's perspective. Again, it's important for us as parents to teach our children that sex is to be between married husbands and wives and between no one else, not between boyfriend and girlfriend, not to be between casual friends, not to be between two boys or two girls either. Remember, it's important to know God's Word has wisdom and counsel that will guide us, help us, and set us free in life. It's so important for us to look to God's Word for the counsel and guidance for us to live by, and the counsel and guidance for us to teach and train our children about this important topic, as well as many other important topics in life as well. Let's look at a few more passages that specifically speak to the topics of relationships and sexuality. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5 says, "Do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer, but then come together again so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control." 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 18 and 20, "Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Again, that was 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 18 and 20. Exodus chapter 20, verse 14, one of the Ten Commandments tells us, you shall not commit adultery. Genesis chapter 39, verses 7 through 10 tell us these words. And after time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from you except anything from me except yourself, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her, to lie beside her, or to be with her. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 13 tells us, food is meant for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And again, there are actually many other scriptures that specifically speak to this important topic. Again, relationships and sexuality from a Bible point of view. But it's so important that we as believers learn God's wisdom and counsel about this area of life and live it. And it's very important for us as parents and grandparents to teach and train our children from God's perspective as well. Again, we live sadly in a very sexualized culture. And obviously, many a young person, children and teenagers as well, middle school and high school as well, many children have their very own cell phones. And of course, obviously, many of them have access to the internet. And the fact is, there's lots and lots of easily accessed pornography found on the internet. And so, again, children can often just indulge in that darkness. And it's important for us as parents to seek to guide our children, to warn them about staying away from things like pornography as well. Also, we need to teach our children, don't ever get involved in sexting, taking pictures of themselves unclothed and sending them, amongst other things that is classified, you know, as child pornography, and children, young people have gotten arrested over that as well. So it's something obviously they shouldn't be involved in at all, but it can lead to being arrested and put in juvenile over as well, sending child pornography. It's important to know that there are lots of vices and things out there to the devil would try to use to entrap our children and our youth. It's important that we pray with our children, that we guide them, help them to know the word and the will of God, and guide them in following God's word and counsel as well. Father, thank you for every parent listening. Thank you for every believer listening. Thank you for the opportunity you've given us to learn what your word has to say about this very, very important part of life, our relationships and our sexuality. Help us to know and discern that we're to seek to honor you in every area of life, including this very important part of life as well. Help us to walk in your wisdom, your counsel, and your grace, and help us to be wise enough to teach, train, and guide our children to discern your word and your will in this area as well. Help us to make time to have our children read the word of God and read insights and truths found in your word that help them to know what your will is in this part of their lives. Help us to know, Lord, that reading your word and living your word is the wisest and most fruitful way for any and all of us to live. Thank you for the opportunity to do that. Help us as individual believers. Help us as the church. Help us as a nation to put you first. Help us to make no graven images. Help us to not take your name in vain. Help us to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to not kill. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. Help us to not commit adultery. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercessions. We've been looking at the topic, Relationships and Sexuality, a Bible Point of View. And as we usually do, towards the end of the broadcast, if you're listening and you desire to make that all-important step of asking Christ to come into your heart, we invite you to take time now. Today is a great day to be saved, to come to know Christ. Would you simply pray this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so very much that you came into this world. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, I repent of all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, I ask you, come into my heart. Become my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. You told us in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to live my whole life for you. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, we invite you to get in touch with us. Please email me at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We'd like to email to you some literature and information that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Hope to hear from you. Thanks for listening again. Today we've looked at the topic, relationships and sexuality, a Bible point of view. Hope that you're blessed and encouraged as a believer and as a parent in this important area and topic for our young people. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.